You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. I'm Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton, Chief Creative Officer, and a new person. Well, if you've listened to some of our other podcasts here, you know K. Tempest Bradford, science fiction writer. K. Tempest Bradford, how are you?
I'm awesome.
You are awesome. I can confirm.
I'm great. It's a great day.
It is a great day. Well, not so great for Twitter, apparently.
Well, I mean, there's no such thing as a good day on Twitter. I mean,
for a lot of people.
I guess there's some days that are all right on Twitter, but
yeah. You have some experience with not so great days on Twitter, do you not?
Maybe a little bit.
So do we want to maybe start with, I mean, because I think a lot of people are aware of the overall problems with Twitter, which we can get into, but what happened to your Twitter account a couple of days ago? Because it looked like it had completely exploded.
It did. This happens every now and then when I express a strong opinion about things, usually having to do with race or gender or sexuality, as I do. But the background is that about a week ago, Fireside Fiction, which is a magazine, published a report where they were like, so there's some serious problems with anti-blackness in speculative fiction publishing. And they had done a survey of all the major science fiction magazines in 2015 and discovered that they had published like some really ridiculously low number of stories written by Black authors. So they, you know, sort of crafted an entire magazine issue around this with some guest essays from other people talking about it as well as their data and whatnot. So since then, many people in science fiction and fantasy circles, especially the writers, have been talking about this issue, you know, in various places. And yesterday, or a couple of days ago, I don't know what I read that really set me off, but I just decided that I wanted to do a little bit of truth telling on Twitter. And so basically I was like, so here's the problem. The real reason why there is such a problem with anti-blackness in science fiction and fantasy publishing is because almost all the editors are white. Most of them are also white male, but even the ones who aren't men are mostly white. And it's the same with the people who are editing best of anthologies. White men, and if they're not men, they're white ladies. And that is the problem. And I was like, we need to stop this. Like, we need to stop hiring white men to be the editors of best of anthologies. Like, they need to bring out some Black co-editors. The magazine editors need to like bring on some Black co-editors, like something. But that's the problem. The problem is whiteness. And then I think I ended my Twitter rant with something like, cue everybody saying that Tempest is racist and divisive and horrible in 3, 2.
And then like clockwork.
About 20 minutes later,
yeah, I saw,
that's what happened.
I saw that comment. I think I know what your intent was, and I will allow you to sort of go into that, but I can kind of see why I think some people took offense to the latter part of that, where you said, well, the problem is whiteness or white people or that. But anyways, why don't you explain to us and for anyone who had not been following that, what your intent was or what you were trying to articulate through, you know, as best as you can through 140 characters.
Well, it was just that so often we don't think about or nobody wants to articulate that the problem is actually whiteness. And whiteness doesn't mean like white people are terrible as a race. Like, no, the problem is like literally whiteness, which is a sort of like cultural concept, you know, white supremacy, which infuses so many things in Western culture. Those are the problems. But because they don't always show up in a KKK hood with a burning cross, you know, like that's just like one level of problematic whiteness and white supremacy, because it like shows up in all these little different ways. that's what really needs to be addressed. You know, just the fact that nobody questions, like, oh, there was, you know, an empty space for an editor for a best of anthology, and they just filled it with some other white dude. All the best of anthologies that are out right now are edited by white people. And that might, you know, nobody thinks of that as a problem. And it's not because white people are a problem. The problem is that it's all coming from a very similar perspective. They're just, you know, in fiction, in storytelling, there are, you know, like gazes, you know, there's the white gaze or the male gaze or whatever. And editors can very easily fall into only liking or connecting with stories that cater to their gaze.
Yes.
And because the white gaze, the male gaze, is the quote mainstream gaze in Western culture, we're like, well, that's the correct gaze. That's normal. That's mainstream. That, you know, why shouldn't anybody always want to cater to that? Not everybody wants to. So, like, that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people don't really want to address head on. And that's really what I was sort of addressing head on. But of course,
that's what I
people are like, terrible.
Right. And that is how I read your tweets as well. But I think that, and it's correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like, I mean, not necessarily out of malice, but you're just saying there is a, because there is a lack of diversity, there's a lack of perspective as well, and people just make what naturally is the most comfortable, not necessarily easy, but maybe just the most comfortable and familiar choices. And even though it isn't out of malice, that in and of itself is not a good thing, that they're not actually thinking about this, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And most of the time it isn't. It's not thought out. And that's part of the problem, is that people aren't really thinking about it. It's just happening. And they don't realize that by not thinking about it and it just sort of happening, that is also an aspect of the problem.
Yeah, it's like perpetual unconscious racial bias. It's basically like you have a team of white editors. They're going to look at stories by white people and go, ooh, this speaks to me. I'm going to put it in my magazine. But they read a story written by a black woman about a black character, and it's like, I don't know where this is coming from. This doesn't speak to my life. I'm confused.
And I think that's a natural thought process, I think, for a lot of people, but that's what Tempest is trying to, and Tempest and many other people are trying to sort of wake everybody up to the fact that we should be cognizant of those things, and we should make an effort. I think this dovetail, all of these issues that you're talking about, Tempest, I think dovetail nicely with all of the ongoing conversations and issues of women in tech and in many industries. That's just like very male dominated, overwhelmingly white, and that poses a challenge.
Right, exactly. And so the other challenge beyond just having to deal with that head on, and like, even if somebody is willing to have a conversation about these topics and to try to get to the root of the problem, you have about 100,000,000,000 people showing up to be like, well, that's just terrible, and there's no inequality, and how could you, and what if the best person for the job was a white man? And
I was just going to bring that up because I saw those responses too. And that's such a
cop out.
It's a cop out. And it's such a almost canned response that I hear from so many white people all the time.
Yeah.
Well, what if they're all just, no, I'm sorry. No, that's bullshit.
If all the people you're looking at are white, it's because you're not looking hard enough elsewhere.
Right. And one of the things I started doing, and I can't believe it took me this long being on the internet to do this, but instead of actually responding to the people, I was quote tweeting them, and the only text I was offering were letters. And Twitter messed up somehow, so like the first one, it didn't show right. But basically, I was just going through every single mention in my thing and tweeting B, I.
Yeah, I don't think I got that.
Gee.
Why were you
doing that? So I was doing that because the thing that you said about how like it's such a canned response, it really is. Like a lot of the things, like 90% of the things that were being tweeted at me were things that, you know, just come up in every single conversation about these issues. And so
a canned response for a canned response.
Right. But also, I don't know if you have, do you have bingo in Canada? Do you play bingo there?
I mean, I don't play it. I'm not a geriatric.
Oh, well, okay. Well, it's just, not just, to be just clear. For older people. But but basically, there's been a thing that's, you know, in race conversations, critical race theory, whatever, is the idea of the bingo card, where somebody creates a bingo card, but instead of it having, you know, like numbers on it, somebody's calling out numbers and you get bingo. It's like the things that everybody says in response to every conversation about whatever the thing is ever.
This drives me nuts. This for the longest time is what I've had to deal with from people that have children, that when I get into a conversation about how I've decided to be child-free, which is a term not everyone is aware of, but it's always the same response. Well, oh, you'll once you have them, you'll love them, or you know, oh, you'll change your mind. You're too young. You know, it's always the same responses. It's kind of strange, but it's always the same response.
And it's the same thing.
It's as if people read a book somewhere where they were like, this is how you must respond.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Do they all go to the same school? I don't understand.
Sometimes it feels that way. So yeah, so there have been, you know, various creative bingo cards, you know, any kind of conversation that involves a lot of consternation and arguing and whatnot, there's a bingo card for clueless responses to it. And so that's basically what I was alluding to, is that all those responses were just the same stuff. Like, it wasn't even worth answering. And also, I realized pretty quickly, is that a lot of the people who were coming at me and being like, oh, you know, with these care responses, were people who actually had been called forth by some hellhound somewhere who was like, oh, no, a black woman has said something about white people on the internet. Go and yell at her. There are actually Reddit forums that are dedicated to this.
It's a very strange
There's
way
a
of
lot of
to
gross
me.
Subreddits out there.
I
that
just
they
don't
haven't
understand
cleansed
this.
Yet.
I mean, people are their lives so devoid of meaning? Are they so shallow that, well, why do I even, of course, yes, they are.
They literally have so much time on their hands that all they can do is jump in to argue with people who have opinions that differ from theirs. This is what they live for, Alex. It is all that they are. And nothing more.
And so, you know, and we had a conversation about this offline, but why not ignore these people? Why not choose not to engage whatsoever? Why give them the time of day? Why give them the pleasure of a response? You know that they're just going to fire back with something that's completely illogical or incomprehensive. So why waste your time looking at these tweets and replying back to them?
Well, there are a couple of reasons, well, more than a couple. For my part, part of what I do on the internet is to either try to educate people or to at least offer some performative snark or response in order so that other people can understand what exactly is going on and what exactly is out there. Because, you know, if I just sort of let these things collect in my mentions, nobody knows about it because, you know, they're talking to me, but they're not connected to anybody that I'm connected to. So nobody's really seeing what they're saying.
Yes.
Except for me, right? So every now and then, I think it is useful to just be very transparent and show what happens when, if I say something that is very like, I have an opinion on the internet, I'm a black woman. And the pushback that I get to that can be very instructive to other people, because other people can look at that and be like, what the hell is going on? Like, why would you do this to another person? Like, why would you? But
I see. Okay.
They need to understand. Like, last year when I did the Tempest Challenge post, there's like posted on ExoJane a thing that says, 1 year you should spend not reading books by cisgender heterosexual white men. And then, of course, like the whole internet is like, oh, how dare you? And one of the things I did was I created a Storyfy of the tweets that I got that were like literal hate tweets. Not just people who were arguing with me about the challenge and saying, oh, it's so wrong. But like literally people who were calling me like ethnic slurs and
Tempest.
And
but what like if all the best writers
slurs.
Are white and right. men?
Right. Like, and it, like those weren't even the things I was like collecting. I was literally collecting people like calling me slurs, gendered slurs, ethnic slurs, saying that they wanted to rape and kill me or whatever. Like all the most hateful tweets. Mm. I gathered them all up and I every now and then I would like send out the link and be like, this is what happens. This is what I get for having a strong opinion on the internet. And
which, of course, is compounded by the fact, by your gender and color, obviously, because if you were a white cisgendered man saying something similar to that effect, you might get some, but not you would not be barraged with that type of
exactly.
inflammatory commentary.
Exactly. But a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people aren't aware. And sometimes when you make them aware, it makes them more willing to be like, hey, I see you. Stop it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like,
see, that's interesting.
Like
that,
arresting it.
I mean, the only way to kill bacteria is to let the sunlight in. Shine a little light on it.
That's something I never considered before. By actually doing something like quoting or retweeting those idiots, you're trying to give attention to the fact that, hey, there are people out there that are terrible and look at them and look at how insane they are.
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of people, this is out of sight, out of mind. Like, it doesn't happen to them. Therefore, it doesn't happen. So the more people that come
right.
forward with this stuff, it's like, yes, this does happen. Yes, it is terrible.
So maybe we should
everybody
speak up.
Should fucking do something about it.
Otherwise, yeah, by being in the dark, by choosing to ignore those people, maybe it is worse that we're not pointing these people out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I could block people like that, but
they're still going to do it to someone else.
They're going to do it to someone else, or they're just going to go and create a fake Twitter account and come back at you like they probably did to you, Tempest.
Yeah, there's a lot of times that people will make fake accounts just to come and yell at me about things. And then I'm like, oh, you egghead,
so
you. That's so
effort.
Adorable.
I don't understand it is, this.
It is a lot of effort. And it's interesting is that sometimes when you point out to them that they're spending a lot of effort just to, you know, harass some random person on the internet that they don't even know. It's like, how pathetic is your life, sir? I feel like mine is a little bit better.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. I don't think you have anything to worry about there.
Right. So every now and then putting that out to them. Just I do sometimes enjoy making stupid racist cry. And I feel like sometimes when you just like land the perfect snark bomb or you at least like show everybody who follows you, like what complete idiots they're being. And other people respond with, what is wrong with that person? They're a complete idiot. That makes them die a little bit inside. I have to admit, I enjoy that. I enjoy making people who want to like come and harass you for no reason other than the fact that you express an opinion on the internet cry a little bit inside when I point out to them that they are pathetic and sad.
Well, I think you're better off for it that you have a thick skin and that you're able to not let these people actually affect you, and also, you know, bonus, you're bringing attention to these complete morons, so you at least have some. I mean, some other, I did see some people coming to your aid and saying, oh, I'm, you know, just kind of either being, you know, providing some level of sympathy for you and at least saying, wow, I cannot believe people are actually reacting this way to you, whereby blocking them or ignoring them, your followers may not have seen those idiots saying those
yeah.
things.
But what I did find interesting is there are a lot of people that I know who subscribe to various block lists where there's just, you know, a whole chunk of people who are known to do this kind of harassment, who are known to do this kind of action, and somebody somewhere gathers them all up together and then they give you tools in order to allow you to like block all of them at once. I haven't subscribed to any of these block lists yet, But I kind of feel like I probably should, because one of the things that people pointed out to me when they were, I was like retweeting all this stuff, is they looked at it and they're like, oh, that's terrible. And then they went to block them and they're like, oh, I'm already blocking them because they're on that block list. And I was like, okay, so clearly this is just a bunch of known trolls that I probably should also block, because at some point it does sometimes give boosting the signal to let people know what's going on is good. But sometimes just shutting them all down so that you can go about and have like a nice peace mm-hmm. of mind day is also good. Like, I have to choose my battles.
Sure, absolutely.
I can't always be engaged in right. some sort of nonsense. But quite honestly, like that thing that happened on Twitter the other day was pretty mild in comparison to some of the stuff that I have been yeah. through. So I feel like I lack perspective sometimes when I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad. People are like, that was horrible. I would be crying in a fetal position. Right. I'm like, it's fine, because I've been through worse. I mean,
well, and just imagine how magnified this is for celebrities that have tens of thousands or millions of followers. Imagine all those replies. Like,
well, and more intensely as well, like Brianna Wu, someone who splashed all over the blogs that these people frequent. It's like, oh, she's doing all this stuff. So like, I mean, they fucking sent her photos of her dog that had just died.
No, these people are scumbags.
Crap all over it. Like,
I mean, they don't have an ounce of humanity.
Worst
clearly,
things.
These are unbalanced people. I mean, normal, healthy individuals do not do this.
I wouldn't say that, because I feel like a lot of it, to them, it's a game, and it's very, very easy
really?
On the internet to think of things as a game. Because, okay, so with the Leslie Jones thing,
yes,
when she started getting like super harassed, at first I was just like, oh my god, I have to go and block all these people and do all these things. And then somebody pointed out, they're like, no, this is a targeted campaign from 4chan. And I was like, oh, now everything makes sense now. It wasn't that any of them actually really had a problem with her. There were just some people on 4chan who were like, hey, wouldn't it be hilarious for us to harass Leslie Jones until she either left Twitter crying or blocked us? Because as I was going through and blocking some of them, I noticed that they were like posting screenshots of like them being blocked. And they're like, hey, I did it. I got blocked. That was their goal, was
so
to get blocked by her.
You're right. It is a game.
Like, you get a point. It's a game
so
to them. It's a literal game
up.
To them. Because I don't know if it's because they really don't see people on the internet as being real, or they just don't care.
I think that's a big part of it. I think that it's a bit of both, but I think that's a big part of it. It's the anonymity thing.
It's anonymity, but also it's easy not to empathize with people that are across the world through a screen.
Right. Yeah, and the Leslie Jones thing, the one thing I'll say is, because I know she was called out for making a racist remark. I don't remember what that exact tweet was. I don't know if you do, Tempest, that one thing that she said about white people. And I can see why some people took that a certain way and they got upset by it. But do any of you, maybe Michael, do you remember what that tweet was, where she got all suddenly, like, every media outlet was saying Leslie Jones makes this racist tweet?
I don't remember exactly what it was.
I mean,
but
you know, even Joe Rogan, who's a famous comedian, was saying this tweet was BS.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember thinking, that's nothing. Like, I think it was the kind of comment that was like, yeah, that makes sense. Why are, like, sure, of course, some white people are going to be offended by this, but it's like totally true. I just don't remember exactly what it was, but that was like, I remember that being my reaction to it. Like,
well,
it was
I'm
kind of a fair comment.
What is this? Oh, I'm looking at Breitbart. So yeah, don't ever go to Breitbart. But I'm looking at Breitbart because they seem to have a whole post about her, quote, racist tweets. And basically what it looks like is that she said white people.
She invoked the word of curse.
Right, like she'll be like, white folks. And I know that for a while, especially during the whole the thing where she was being harassed, like, and all the hate was coming at her, there was an account that was spoofing her that wasn't actually her.
Oh god.
But it like looked a a lot like her Twitter name.
So like the digital equivalent. But anyway, but
like, yeah, it looks like her racist tweets consist of her being like, white people.
Yeah.
This is some white shit.
So then, which, people...
you know, sometimes you do got to be like white people.
Yeah, I think she was just exasperated at that point.
Oh yeah, of course.
And naturally, like to me, it wasn't a big deal that she said something like that. But we should, you know, Tempest, you mentioned about subscribing to Blocklist, and I wanted to get your take about the current state of Twitter's platform, the utter lack of interest it seems on their part to provide better tools for people that really do need to be able to sort of clean their timeline of these idiots. And then the whole other argument of, should Twitter be policing their platform? Do they even want to do this? Where do you draw the line between harassment and just passionate arguments? And the one argument that I made the other day was, well, if I call you an asshole, that's not harassment. I didn't say, and I didn't do anything illegal. I just called you an asshole. I'm free to do that. However, when you get into things that are very clearly illegal, like death threats, rape threats, obviously, like, I think those people should be banned completely from the platform. I don't know if there's anything in Twitter's terms of service that says people like that, that say those types of things would be banned, but... as far as if I was Twitter, I would think very carefully about what type of customers do we want? What type of platform do we want? And what type of people do we want to attract? Do we want to keep the good people on here? If we do, then we probably should be doing a better job of banning these idiots. But that's not happening, as far as I can see.
And according...
Well, Twitter does do some banning. The problem is that Twitter is a global platform. But Twitter Incorporated, whatever the actual company name is an American company. And in some cases, there's only so much that they can do because, you know, they can't stop somebody from making an account. They can't necessarily stop everybody from an IP address from making an account because, you know, IP addresses are not always specific to a person. But I do know, and I didn't read the article, but I do know that there was a group of people who got together several years ago to think about how Twitter could be better at, you know, dealing with the harassers and helping out people who are being harassed and who are being dogpiled on and whatnot. And they submitted their suggestions to Twitter. Apparently they were things that could be easily implemented and Twitter just hasn't done it. Twitter cares about having more users so that they can say, look at our platform. It has all these users on it. Don't you want to advertise on it or whatever they say to advertise? I don't know. I don't see Twitter ads because I use Hootsuite. But
well, like any sane person, you don't use the official Twitter app.
Yeah.
Right. Like nobody garbage. Wants to go to Twitter.com anymore. but some people apparently still do. But yeah. You know, they are more thinking about what's going on with their bottom line. And they seem to be like, well, we just don't know what to do about harassment, but that's mostly because they're just not listening to people. I mean,
well, even the user growth, like you're saying, I mean, it seems like it's plateaued, and that's been an ongoing concern of not only shareholders, but the media at large seems to be constantly concerned about, well, what's happening with Twitter? Are they making money? Are they able, like, how are they going to sustain their platform? I think they have many problems to tackle, but I do think that just the silence on this whole front, it was strange to me.
Well, and on that note, yesterday there was a very illuminating BuzzFeed article about all this, which is why I wanted to discuss Twitter today. The article essentially covered the past 10 years of Twitter and how it was founded by these guys who had this kind of warped ideal of free speech and that free speech must be protected at all costs and that anyone should be allowed to say anything. And
well, you can say anything, but there are consequences.
Right. And that's how free speech really is. But they see it as a sort of absolutism and they founded Twitter with that in mind. And so the corporate mindset this entire time has been, people should be allowed to say what they want. And on top of that, obviously, as we just said, their primary focus is user growth. So anything that would curb user growth, such as better harassment tools that ban people from Twitter permanently.
You know, I'm an optimist. To me, that seems like a very pessimistic view because...
Well, it's not a view. Like, this article is from people that worked at Twitter.
But Twitter has also had a lot of management changes. They've had different CEOs. Like, I can't believe that they still believe that they're so rigid about, this form of freedom of speech.
That's the thing, though. With any big company, you have the people at the top and the people underneath that. So, I mean, there might be some people underneath the top people who are like, yeah, this is a real problem. We need to fix this. But then the people at the top are like, rabble, rabble, free speech, rabble, rabble, user growth. And it gets shut down. And this, to me, is why they've had such a huge turnaround on mid-level employees. Like, their new head of product just left. And they've gone through like five heads of product in the past.
Well, and CEOs, how many
4 years?
How many CEOs have they had?
A couple of them. I mean, all of their
not that many.
But they haven't done a very good job of steering the ship either.
No.
I mean, Dick Costolo too has
historically
does not have a good track record, and people don't think very highly of him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure he's a smart guy, but I mean, come on, if you're in that position running that company.
Right. And the other thing to consider is that once again, we come back around to whiteness being a problem. I don't think that all of Twitter CEOs have been white, but I'm pretty sure they've all been guys. And, you know, maleness also can be a problem in this context because, you know, they're like, oh, we have to, you know, everybody should be free to say whatever because they haven't been on the receiving end of the kind of targeted harassment that people of color get all the time, that women get all the time. Like they just haven't been part of it. They don't understand why it's a problem, that it's constant, that, you know, it puts people in real danger sometimes, you know, like they don't get it, but they're like, but people should be free to say whatever. Because they're just like sticks and stones.
But also the other problem, Tempest, I totally agree 100% with everything you're saying. But the other problem is that the people at Twitter are not using Twitter. They're not using their products.
Yeah.
Their CEO and everybody on the board, like they tweet like what, once a year? Like, I mean, they're not using their product. They don't understand it. They're not living it. They're not breathing it every day.
They should have to trade timelines with a person of color. Or something. Like, everybody on the Twitter board should be forced to log into a person of color's account and see those mentions.
They should have some... I mean, I think they could probably create some kind of a simulated environment of, like, where your account is suddenly receiving thousands of tweets per second. I mean...
Right, well, but I mean, I feel like, no, it's... It should be that they should have to like see somebody else's timeline, because if they see like something simulated, they can be like, well, but that's simulation. And it's kind of like the way, you know, I remember reading somewhere about a professor making all of her male students create a match.com profile, but of women.
Mm.
And then like watching horrified as they discover what women go through on dating site, or maybe it was OkCupid. It was probably OkCupid because match.com is for like, you know, people in their 40s. But yeah, it was, you know, something along those lines where, you know, until you actually, you know, step into those shoes, like people just don't have empathy. The tech bros especially do not have empathy.
Oh, God,
they haven't learned it, whatever. And so then they, you know, run around and they're like, well, everybody should be able to say whatever they want. And they create products like Soylent.
that's another thing. But yeah, I think this goes back to what you're saying, though, Tempest, though. Is lack of diversity, which is such a problem everywhere, including technology companies. I mean, maybe if they had some other people there, they would have different perspectives to consult on, like, you know, having some people of color, having some, you know, having women, more women work there, you know, and having people of color and women that are in positions that can make important decisions about the product. I mean, Michael, you were saying there, I think, head of product left. Do you know who that was? Were they a guy?
It was a woman.
It was a woman.
White woman.
Okay.
But yeah, like she had only been there for a few months and now she's leaving. So well, it's
we don't really know why. It could have been any reason. And maybe she wasn't good at her job.
I think we can guess though. I mean,
it's certainly a concern.
You don't have heads of product constantly leaving all the time for no reason. Like
that is a bit strange.
It reads to me like these people understand the problems with the platform. They go, okay, I've come in, I've looked at this. Here's all the shit that's wrong. We need to fix all of this stuff right now. And then somebody up top goes, oh no, that's not a problem.
Yeah, this is clearly starting to seem like a prop to me, at least now. I never really gave it a lot of thought, but this to me is very clear that it is a top-down problem that the lights are on but nobody's home. Like, you know, it's just like in one ear, out the other. No one's listening.
Like they're on the Citadel on the hill and everybody else around them is screaming fire and they're surrounded by a moat and they're like, oh well, it seems fine to us.
Yeah, it just seems like somebody up at Twitter is looking at the numbers and go, well, we've got a big user base. We're making money from our promoted tweets platform. What more do you want, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with our product, clearly. I have numbers to prove it.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is an issue.
Yes.
I mean, somebody, you know, somebody up top has got some big pie chart. They're like, look.
Oh yeah, of course. Of course.
Something, something ROI.
Yeah. And ooh, after that controversy, look at the spike in our numbers. It was great. We need more of this.
But yeah, you know, you guys in the peanut gallery, you want to talk about diversity. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you go in that, that boardroom over there and blue sky it?
Yeah, so it's like, no wonder people leave. No wonder people leave. It's like, you go in there and you're like, we should fix this, and then that happens.
I guarantee you that's happening there.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, people are going to give up. They're going to say, well, I can't fix this problem. And that's why people are leaving Twitter. And
well, they'll learn the hard way.
Yeah.
When more and more people. But this is, you know, going back to what you were saying about, well, they care about user growth. Isn't it kind of a catch 22 situation where it's like, in order to grow your user base, you need to attract the people that you want to the platform and you need to make sure that it's a good environment to be in and that you have tools that if you need to, that the tools are there if you need them in order to keep your Twitter experience somewhat sane.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if I don't understand how you can say one thing like I want to focus on growing the platform, but then you're not looking at the things that you need to do to actually, it's like a very myopic way of looking at your product.
Oh yeah.
And there's a part of me still that doesn't want to believe this. Like there are smart people working at this company. What the hell is going on?
And then they put out this asinine statement about the article. Oh, a lot of this is inaccurate and untrue. But instead of fighting with BuzzFeed, we're going to continue working to improve our answers to abuse and harassment. And it's like, oh, really? You're going to improve your solutions for abuse and harassment like the great job you've been doing for the past 10 years? Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's your perspective on this, Tempest? Like, what do you think is actually going on at Twitter?
I just think that it's a lot of privileged people who have never had to experience stuff from any other angle making too many of the decisions. I mean, I know it's hard. I know that there are some people at Twitter who try and who talk about the difficulties that they have basically, you know, policing or getting a handle on certain things because of the fact that, you know, somebody can say whatever they want. They're hanging out in, you know, Bangladesh, Brazil, Morocco, wherever they're hanging out, they have no control over, you know, what that person is doing. And they only have some control over what people even in America are doing. So I understand that the task is Herculean and difficult. But again, if they're not implementing even the suggestions that were given, and they're putting their fingers in their ears, and they're responding to criticism with, nuh-uh,
Well, nobody said this was going to be easy, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. It's like, I mean, to me, this is like analogous of the whole thing with the gun law reform. It's like, yes, it's not going to be perfect, but does it mean that you shouldn't do anything? Well, no.
No, there's nothing we can do, Alex. There's nothing we can do. Everyone has to have guns.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But the other thing is also, you know, thinking about who Twitter wants to attract, I also feel like they maybe are falling into that mindset that, say, TV people fall into. It's like the 18 to 35-year-old male, because advertising, blah, blah, whatever. And so the 18 to 35-year-old male is not the one who's experiencing the harassment, is he?
Nope.
It's a very warped view of reality that is not actually reality to them. Like, they're looking through this lens that is so far from what the actual view is of the world. To me, like, it's like, you ever gone back and look at 90s sitcoms? Like, look at Friends, as much as I love that show, but it's like, come on, seriously, everybody on this show is attractive and everybody is white. Come on. This is just,
Not to mention
the fact that everybody who matters that's white.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact they have completely implausible apartments.
Yeah, those apartments were like, there's no way those people afforded those lofts. Yeah.
Like any
in
sitcom,
New York.
Like any sitcom, it's like, no.
Anyways,
no.
We're derailing. But yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on at Twitter. I'm so concerned because I love Twitter. I've seen the best of it, but I've also seen how dark and disgusting it can be, and I'm so thankful that I haven't really had to experience that, but I have friends like you, Tempest, that I have, and I've seen the experience other people have had, and I just cannot imagine. I cannot blame anyone for wanting to leave and delete their account after some of the things that certain celebrities have to go through. I can't fathom what they deal with every day, having hundreds or thousands of at replies and having to go through those, and most of them being inflammatory. I just don't understand how anybody could do it.
Yeah, it's,
I'm with you because I don't understand
either. So what's going to be the catalyst? So like, what is going to be the catalyst for Twitter to actually do something?
Their daily active users have to drop by at least 20%.
Yeah, something has to come along that really just completely threatens Twitter and completely, or at least makes a really good effort at solving the problem. And, you know, unfortunately, we're at a point right now where there is nothing that can do that. I mean, it's kind of like Facebook also has some of these problems, but it's just in a different way because Facebook is a different type of platform.
Yeah.
There are a lot of issues going on with Facebook and harassment and the way that they police the community standards and all of that. But the problem is, it's like, well, where are you going to go? If you are like, F Facebook, we're leaving because Google Plus is kind of a mess and nobody likes it. There's really not anywhere else where everybody else is. Twitter is different and it's not really what people are wanting because they're like, well, but I miss all the things on Twitter because I'm not on it 24 hours a day. So, like, there's nowhere for people to go. Same with Twitter. Like, people can't flee to Facebook because it's not quite the same. So where are they going to flee? What's going to happen? I will say this, though. It's been over 10 years since Twitter came to us and Facebook came to us. And it's about time for something else to pop up. And, of course, we talk about this all the time, about how, like, MySpace looked like a juggernaut. Friendster seemed like a juggernaut. Does anybody even know what Friendster is anymore if they're not over 40 years old? Probably not.
No, I know what it is.
I do.
Hey, I liked it for a while. It was like, okay.
So things come and go, so maybe it's now finally time for something else to come along. But if some other social network is going to come along and replace the Twitter, replace the Facebook, or maybe multiple things, the dealing with the harassment part has to be a cornerstone of it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is app.net coming back?
I don't think it's dead yet, but yeah.
I can't believe that service still runs. Oh, dear. I was such a big proponent for app.net back in the day.
Oh, I know. Like, I had that. It, like, running right next to Twitter, and it was decent, but,
You know, it's really sad to me that, you know, when I see third-party Twitter apps like Tweetbot, and I'm sure Hootsuite has some features, too, like this, where you can, you know, easily mute conversation threads. And this is actually, you know, actually, we should talk about this a little bit. Why the hell hasn't Twitter come up with the ability to allow people to unsubscribe to a conversation thread? When someone puts your username into a tweet storm that you did not ask to be a part of, and it's even worse for celebrities, and they can't, short of blocking that person, there's no way
celebrities,
to remove yourself from that.
Celebrities have that power.
Do they?
Because they have access to verified features.
Oh, that is a thing, really?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Because
that's something everybody should have. I mean, that's absurd.
Well,
I've been included in conversation threads on Twitter that were not inflammatory, but I don't want to be part of it.
Because, yeah, like...
Right, you should be able to be like, no.
That's a spam
to me. You have
to
ask them to remove you. You should be able to remove yourself.
That's exactly.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a basic feature. It would be nice if a lot of the features that sort of come in third-party apps were things that were built into Twitter. Somebody was talking about mute. I think it was the two of you was talking about mute, and mute was only available in TweetDeck or something like that.
Tweetbot.
I recently noticed that mute is now available in Hootsuite.
Oh, nice.
So because before I would just like block and report people. Yeah. And one of the nice things about Hootsuite, you can't do this on the browser version, but if you have the app, if you click on anybody's profile and then you like click on the little menu and it's like block and report. And then it asks you, which of your Twitter accounts do you want to use to block and report? And because I have,
nice.
You know, control of about 8 different Twitter accounts, I just go, all 8 of them would like to block and report, please.
Actually, I'm just looking at the Twitter website here, and you can mute somebody.
Oh, they finally added
is on the Twitter website. I'm sure it's on the official Twitter app as well.
It's probably not as refined as the Tweetbot one.
But see, like,
one.
Even Tweetbot doesn't have this, but I know Twitterific has this option, which kind of works like, I mean, it's trying to be like an unsubscribe feature where you actually can collapse a entire conversation thread, which is kind of like almost like unsubscribing it, but it's just hiding really what you don't want to see. Yeah. Right, like this is just—it goes beyond just muting someone. This is just like effectively muting a thread. So you're not muting the person. You just don't want to see that conversation thread whatsoever. Mm. And this is stuff that really should be built into Twitter. It's insane to me that they haven't added this yet.
Something else third parties could do. You know how ad blockers have exploded, where you can literally just like set one and it applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Third parties should implement the same thing for block lists.
Sure.
Add a block list to your third-party Twitter client. Bam. It automatically filters out all the crap.
But, I mean, this is like a basic feature that chat programs have had for a long time. Like Facebook Messenger, I can mute a conversation. iMessage, I can now mute a conversation. I'm sure it's in WhatsApp. I'm sure it's in many other platforms. So this to me is just like facepalm moment. Like, why have you not done this?
Well, yeah, and they can't really claim, oh, this is hard, because these are features that literally everything else has. These are solved
problems.
Every
other platform and social media service and chat service has a mute feature that works in that way for conversations. There's no valid excuse for you to say, well, we find most people don't need this feature. Or it's going to take 12 months to develop it.
No,
I don't believe it. I do not believe it. It's just not a priority for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I can absolutely confirm that as an actual software developer. Like, the amount of time it would take to implement logic to just filter tweets out, 5 seconds. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And as for combating harassment, like, just fucking throw up a TensorFlow server and have it train on hate speech for a week. And then, bam, you could instantly ban all the racists from Twitter, probably.
Yeah, I don't know how reliable could you actually do that? Because you'd be really relying on this automated technology to not ban valid.
I mean, for starters, you would ban anyone that uses a racial slur.
Sure, okay. Fair enough.
Like, that's pretty easy to do. You can just have an AI run through every single tweet in real time and go, oh, there's someone saying the N-word. Oh, there's someone using gendered slurs. Oh, there's someone saying this. And, like, that's child's play now. It is, but
it still requires some human intervention. And it does. And again, we get back to some of the problems that, like, say, Facebook faces in this kind of realm. For instance, there's a page on Facebook right now, it's still up, that's basically called something like "All Jews Control the World and They're Evil" or something.
Oh, God.
It's some page that has some really blatant, ridiculous anti-Semitic nonsense in the title of the page, and the page lives up to its title. Like, it's nothing but posts about how Jews are evil and they control the world and they should be gotten rid of and all these things. I know dozens of people, like me personally, who have reported that page to Facebook, and I'm sure that like hundreds actually have reported that page to Facebook. And every time it's reported, Facebook comes back with, well, it doesn't violate our community guidelines or community standards.
Well, your community guidelines are fucked up.
Oh, yeah. They say that shit about everything.
And so that happens. But then, this happens over and over.
Well, it must be automated. Maybe there's no human being then, because I can't believe.
There are human beings. But what I recently learned is that the people who are looking at those reports are not actually even Americans. Some of them... I believe they're in Bangladesh. Please don't quote me on that. Internet, don't quote me on that. But a lot of that work is farmed out to people in other countries who may not have the cultural context to understand what the problem is. Who knows how aware these people are of anti-Semitism, how educated they even are. And this is not to say that people in other countries are educated. No, what I'm saying is are they aware of what exactly is the problem, or are they following are they following just some checklist and the thing does not ping the things on the checklist? It's not somebody who's aware of all the cultural context behind the things.
Yeah.
And so you get this is the problem. So once again, you could have that on Twitter, but somebody would have to be looking at it, and it would have to be somebody who's just could be aware of what in context is going on. And that takes a lot of power.
This is the thing though. If they really are reading from a checklist, it would be the kind of thing that a machine learning AI could do instantly. So, I mean, you could just replace that entire thing, and then anything that isn't automatically flagged and gets reported could actually be forwarded to someone in the States, because they're no longer inundated with tons and tons of stuff, because an automated process is weeding out the obvious things. So then when people do report something, there's way less of those suddenly. So then they can actually have a team in the States that reads those reports and goes, oh yeah, there's some subtle racism, or oh, there's some non-overt whatever.
But you were saying, Michael, this is an easy the automation part can be easy to remove things like racial slurs. But what if I don't really trust AIs algorithms to really understand context. What if my tweet has a racial slur, but it's not me saying at anybody, it's me making a statement about, if I say something about the use of the N-word could be considered, insensitive, but then I'm that keyword is in there, but what I'm saying is not insulting. I'm not directing that at somebody. I'm making a generalized statement.
There has actually been a lot of progress in that area. IBM's Watson can actually judge the intent of a sentence. It can actually calculate aggression and disgust and emotions like that.
That's interesting. Okay,
from a sentence.
Maybe there's a possibility.
If you ran it through that and cross-checked it with the known racial slur database, it could go, well, this tweet is particularly angry or particularly disgusted, and it includes a racial slur. Therefore, it is likely hate speech.
So it's got some scale that it rates them on, and then maybe if it drops below a certain point, then maybe there can be some level of human intervention at some point.
Yeah, like I would put this in place, but I would also have an appeal process for false positives.
Sure.
Like somebody could go, oh, hey, you accidentally flagged me as a racist, but this tweet isn't actually that. And then a human would actually look at it and go, oh, yeah, you're right. Or nice try, racist asshole.
And then I presume that by flagging, like if something is a false positive, a human being says, okay, no, this is not, this is not a racial slur.
The problem with that is that there would literally be too many for people to check. So
no, I know, but what I'm saying is, could it learn if you said, well, no, this is in fact not.
Yeah, you could train it on additional context, absolutely. You could tell the system this was a false positive, and then it could actually keep track of known false positives and compare those to new input and go, okay, this is less likely to be actual abuse. But I mean, obviously stuff like this takes time to build, and you have to train it, and then you have to weed out the false positives, and it's like, but the work goes faster if it's actually handling this data. Like, that's the thing about it. You can't just train an AI on stale data. If it actually had every tweet in the API running through it in real time, it would learn that much faster and be that much better at it at an exponential rate.
Yeah. Well, we should probably wrap. Tempest, what are your closing thoughts? Do you have any hope for Twitter? Are you going to continue to use Twitter? And what do you want to see Twitter do in the next 12
months? I will continue to use Twitter, but I really do think that Twitter needs to, in the next 12 months, implement some of these anti-harassment policies and suggestions, so that, because it's just going to get worse. Like, Leslie Jones is not going to be the end of this, because people on 4chan have nothing better to do, clearly, than to engage in these harassment campaigns. Like I said, for them, it's a game. It's fun. It's just something to do because they ain't got nothing else to do. Whatever. That's not going to change. So Twitter is going to have to implement some changes. But unfortunately, like I said, there's not really anywhere else that we can go, like, in order to do the things that Twitter does. I don't necessarily want to spend every day engaged with racists in a pitched battle for the hearts and minds. So most of the days I just use Twitter like anybody else. But yeah, they've got to do something. And if they don't, it may be that somebody else will come along and steal all of their users eventually. It's not going to happen overnight, but it could happen. We've seen it happen.
Yep. No one's invincible in this industry.
Yeah. And on that note, Tempest, before we end here, why don't you tell everybody where they can find your stuff?
You can go to ktempestbradford.com to find all of the things about me. There's a link to my Twitter and my Facebook and all the stuff. You could go to www.therightgear.com. That's WRITE to see my other podcast, which is, I swear, you guys, the episode's coming. and yeah, that's pretty much where you can find all my stuff.
Great. And thank you so much for joining us today. It was a really good discussion. Really good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been listening to The Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm here with Michael Norton, as always. And that was K. Tempest Bradford, science fiction writer. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the network at large, please head over to patreon.com/hologramradio and become one of the other lovely donators that contribute every month. And it is one of the best ways to support us and what we do here, because what we do is good, but it isn't free. It actually costs real money, and donating is the best way to support us. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week, or your favorite podcast player of choice. We're on Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and pretty much everywhere else that we should be. But if you do subscribe to the show in iTunes, please take a moment to give us a rating, whether it's negative or positive. We want to hear from you, and that helps other people find the podcast. And if you do leave us a review, we will give you a personal shout out on a future episode of this show if you feel that you're that narcissistic and need to hear your name called out on a podcast. Well, we'll do that if you leave us a nice review. If you leave us a terrible review, well, tough luck. You're out of luck. You can follow this podcast on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton's at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. And Tempest is at Tiny Tempest. And we're everywhere else. We're on Facebook. Pretty much everywhere these days. And if you'd like to send some feedback to this podcast, to Michael or myself, email us at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.